It's amazing if we would go back over these readings, if you can, and see how the church is the work of God. It's not a human reality, purely. It's human enough, God knows. But it's a work of God. This whole first story, Herod has arrested Peter, and he's going to kill him because that makes the people happy, and he wants the people to like him so he doesn't lose his kingship in a revolt or something. And so this is just another Galilean fisherman who is disturbing the peace, and who cares? God cares. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit care. Can you imagine? It says here that he was guarded by four squads of four each, 16 guys to guard this one fellow. I mean, that shows, I think, that he already knew there was more to this than meets the eye. Anyway, you heard the story. And, the angel left him, is the way I end. And then Peter says, now I know that the Lord sent that angel and I'm free. And he goes to knock on the door where they're all praying for him. And they won't let him in. You know, it's a trick. It keeps pounding until they let him in. But do you see God's hand? That man is not going to die now. He will glorify me by his death, but not now. I have chosen him to lead this apostolic band and all those who will believe through them. And he will be their leader. So, and this is, you see, very important. When it touches on the reality of Christ, only God has authority. To this day, that's true. To this day, that's true. And so then we have this story of, you know, this account in Paul. And you see that being an apostle is not an easy job. He's in jail now, too. See, this is what the world does. Lock them all up. Put them in jail. That'll chain up the world. The word, it won't get out. Exactly the opposite happens from that. Look at the faith in Africa right now, and look at the people who have suffered in martyrdom in Africa. Now it's starting in India. Now, you don't chain the word of God, because it is the word of God. So, he says, look, I know that it's about time. I'm already being poured out like a libation, the wine offering over the sacrifice, you see. The time of my departure is at hand. Now, he loves this word. It alludes to a Hebrew word, which is when the people in the desert set out with their tents, pack up your tent, and we'll move on. And that's the word he's using here. I pack up my tent and I move on to the presence of the Lord forever. And then we come to the, I have to go fast today because we've got all the other things to do, but ponder these texts. This is the church instructing us. So what is an apostle? Who is an apostle? From the human side, someone who's yielding to the Holy Spirit and has faith. From the divine side, it's somebody moved wherever God wants him to be. And no prison, no king, no official is going to chain the word of God. And just think of the miracle. You know, one was a real intellectual and a mystic, Paul. The other guy, the leader, the head of everybody, was a fisherman. You know, he probably knew how to read and write enough to calculate when he sold his fish. But that's it. And Jesus says, you're the one. I'm going to build my church on you. And he did, to this day. There's a successor of Peter sitting over there in Rome right now. And so this is a miracle. This is why we celebrate this day. You know, these two human beings, aided by a small group, started to tell the world that there's only one true God. He's the God of the Jews. He's the God who selected and chose the Jews and worked with them for a millennium. And then he sent his son who was equal to him, who was also God, who came and also healed and preached and then died for our sins and rose again and poured out the Holy Spirit, who is God. Those are the facts. And the Holy Spirit moving in the hearts of those who hear it helps them to yield to this truth, be freed from their sins and their fears, their habits, their slavery to whatever, and be saints and believe in God. And here we are, 2 millennia later, still doing it. The church is the work of God. So that's what we celebrate today, the two sort of founders of the church. And Paul, you know, Paul was one of the leading intellectuals of Israel. And after he had a vision, a direct vision of the Lord himself, first he had to be baptized, like everybody else. Remember when Ananias went? When he gets all done that, what does he do? He goes to consult this fisherman. Because that's where the Lord put the power. Now, he wasn't a milquetoast, as you well know. When Peter was buckling up there in Antioch and Sardin, because the Jews wanted to keep their dietary law, like Muslims do today, you know, keep it. And he was, Paul says, you know, why are you doing that? There was a principle involved here, that even though he's the Pope, he's got to be corrected. Which is why the Lord, in his mercy, holds to get church together, not on a contract, but on a person. Because you can argue with a person. You can talk to a person. You can say, Benedict, that was the dumbest thing I ever saw. Make sure it is dumb before you say it. Because you can talk to a person. The Lord can work through him and work through you. It's not a book, a contract, a constitution. It's a person. So today, let us pray for the church. This miracle of God. The oldest human institution in the history of the world. 2,000 years. It has withstood the stupidity, the sin, the weakness, the distraction of most of us. And bore in her bosom radiant sanctity. Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Francis Xavier, you know, all saints. Well, we have a chance. There's no reason why we couldn't be saints if we just turn ourselves in and stop being pious but cautious and really say, okay, I sign on. I want to be a saint.